Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
With a little time to open up the reporter's notebook for this week's series about cleaning up transportation. Chris Bentley and I looked at electric trucks and planes and wind-powered cargo ships, but there was lots we didn't get to. So Chris, come on in, let's talk.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Pretty good, thanks. So listen, we've been traveling a lot, off and on, for a year or more for this series, and it made us think, as we mentioned this last time, that we are a part of the problem here, because you have to look at transportation, cars, planes, trucks, ships, trains, whatever, they all add up to a tremendous amount of pollution, and that's how we landed on this idea.
Yeah, right. I think we said it somewhere, but I'm still surprised every time I see that pie chart and see that transportation is the biggest source of greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S., 29% of total U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. And it's growing faster, or it has grown faster, than any other sector over the past couple decades. And we all play a part in that.
We do. And we didn't plan it this way, but it seems like all of our stories went through California, or they easily could have.
Right.
So let's just talk for a moment about California and the role that state has in cleaning up the transportation sector.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's almost like all roads lead to California when you're talking about transportation and climate regulations. That stat I said a minute ago, it's even more stark in California. It's something like half of California's greenhouse gas emissions are from transportation, which maybe is no surprise if you've been stuck in traffic in LA. But they've also got way more regulations. They even prohibited the sale of new gas and diesel cars after 2034.
Controversial stuff, by the way.
Yeah, it is controversial stuff, of course. I mean, there's a lot of debate about whether the industry is going to be able to get there, how they're going to get there. But you see this often. You know, California is usually putting more stringent environmental regulations than the rest of the country. But what happens, because there's such a big economy, is those rules tend to influence other states, no matter what the federal government does. Mm.
Something that came up a lot in my reporting for this series this time around was this idea that the first step is getting people to rethink the way that we consume, the way that we travel, the way that we buy stuff. I want to play this piece of tape. It's from Brad Vogel, who we met at a shipyard on the Hudson River, where the schooner Apollonia sails products with power from the wind from Kingston, New York, on the river, all the way down to Manhattan, New York City.
Shipping, and I'm saying that meaning literally ships, vessels moving goods, is still off in the background in most people's minds. And what we like to do with Apollonia is try to actually get people thinking about, oh, this is how I get my good? Is this a need or is this a want? And is there a way that I can make a tweak in my life so that, you know, we can do this a bit better?
Chris, what about that? I mean, did you hear people talking about our individual roles in cleaning up the supply chain?
Yeah, I sure did. I mean, when I was talking to truckers, I was told multiple times about that maybe apocryphal quote from Jimmy Hoffa, if you got it, a truck brought it. It's like we expect everything to sort of be in stock everywhere all the time, you know. But I guess just one more thing I'd say about this kind of like we all play a role in it. Our personal carbon footprints are, you know, nothing compared to the carbon footprint of a big corporation. Mm. Now, those two are connected because, you know, they're emitting carbon to bring us goods that we want. But we have to do both at the same time. It's like it's important to think about maybe I'll stop ordering so many packages or taking so many flights, and that makes a difference. But yes. I mean, what we really have to do is also have bigger rules that guide industries away from fossil fuels.
Chris, to that point, we got a letter from a listener in Miami who said all this is nicely aspirational, but there's 8 billion of us. And for better or worse, we want our stuff. 95% of us don't really give a darn how it gets there. And we don't want our refrigerator to cost $1,100 instead of $800 because it arrived by a sailboat or, you know, a clean truck. So, yeah, it's a fascinating topic. Now, one of the things we didn't go too deeply into, but we easily could have, is hydrogen. This is a really important piece to this puzzle. It was even part of the conversation in Costa Rica where I was reporting on this huge wooden sailboat that they're trying to build for cargo purposes. They're trying to put a hydrogen fuel cell on board to power the boat if the wind doesn't blow. What'd you learn about hydrogen?
Yeah, hydrogen kept coming up everywhere. We only touched on it in our story about aviation, but there are companies working on hydrogen-powered commercial jets, too. Airbus had even said they were going to be building one by 2035, but then they scaled that back recently. So that's probably still decades away. the debate really goes around this, where you get it, because that's not always clean. Some people want to see the government limit who can get tax credits for hydrogen only if they're using green hydrogen, which is made with water and renewable energy, and that's it. So when that comes down soon, one way or another, it's going to have a big impact on the direction of the hydrogen industry.
So that was our series on transportation. We're going to be back this summer with another iteration of Reverse Course. I don't know about you. I'm in Arizona where it's starting to get starting to get hot. I'm thinking about heat. I'm thinking about water. What's on your mind next time?
Yeah, totally. Heat and water as well. I mean, I'm here in Chicago. I'm always thinking about the Great Lakes when it comes to fresh water. That's something I'd like to explore a little more. Agriculture also. There's a lot of potential solutions out there. As always, lots and lots to dig into.
Here now is Chris Bentley. You can find all of our stories about cleaning up trucking and shipping and aviation. They're at hereandnow.org. Just look for Reverse Course. Chris, thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.